Where would you like to read in your Bibles this morning? I've got all kinds of passages. Somebody got a favorite that you're reminded of this morning in terms of the songs we were singing? Great job, worship team. Well, that's what I'm here for, right? I'm supposed to do that. Okay. We were in Matthew chapter 26 this morning. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Next week, I'll be preaching from Psalm 32. I'm going to allude to it a little bit this morning. If you can't remember Psalm 32, you can go and look at it right now, because it pertains to our time here. I want you to ask yourself a question. How far do I need to fall before I recognize God's grace? We were reading that passage and thinking a little bit about somehow we would like to divorce the idea that the breaking of bread should be able to be done without any sense of betrayal. But you'll notice that when you read the 1 Corinthians 11 passage in verse 23 and following, the night in which he took bread, the Lord Jesus was betrayed. Well, you likely don't see yourself as a Judas. Oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But likely, each of us is a Judas of sorts. So, I never betrayed the Lord Jesus like Judas did. But you might have betrayed a neighbor, a co-worker, a friend, a brother, a sister in Christ. It's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? What kind of sin has brought you to your knees and pleaded with God? So that when you looked up, you saw his grace, his love. You might say, I've never come to that place. I can't relate to what you're talking about, Mike. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not like Judas. Well, you're likely more like Judas than you'd care to believe. More than you'd care to know. Why are we focusing in on Judas? We should be focusing in on Jesus. So as you look back at that passage, and the Lord Jesus, you just go there. I know the passage, so. Verse 20, 21, 22. Jesus tells the disciples, one of you is going to betray me. What I like about the next line is that they all recognize, in light of what they have seen, it would appear that they've come to finally understand their own depravity, their own ability to fail the very one who loves them, who has performed signs and wonders, of course, in their midst, but accepts them for who they are, fickle. Grandiose ideas of greatness. Their ambition and their pride is first and foremost on their minds. You're not going to wash my feet. John chapter 13. Surely not I, Lord. You know, coming to the table is certainly a time to celebrate the goodness and the love of God, but it's to appreciate that God loves the unlovable, the betrayer. 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but not just for you and me, but for everyone. So we're here to respect the fact that we're fallen on the one hand, but we're redeemed on the other. You are worth more than you can imagine. But let God be the one who says it. Let God be the one who displays it. Let God be the one who demonstrates his love. Let God declare you righteous. Let God reward you in a future day for your faithfulness. But between here and then, you're going to struggle. Like the Apostle Paul, who will deliver me from this body of death? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. He wrote that as a believer, you know that. So I don't like to think so deeply. I didn't know the table of the Lord was, on the one hand, a marvelous expression of God's love. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus was quite aware of the darkness. We live in a dark world. There are evil people. There are wicked people. There are people who are believers who are not living where they should. You say, should the table be such a place where there's light and darkness? Well, you'll have to figure that out yourself. Jesus talks about the darkness and the light. And he begs us to ask ourselves the question, if the light dwells within you, on the other hand, how great is the darkness? Does the light overshadow the darkness? Because we are grappling with that day in and day out. Share a few more thoughts with you a little later. We're going to turn to Psalm 55 later, not now. Again, God being only too aware. I often pray like this. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. That's really what the disciples were saying. And yet you invite me to come to your table. You invite me to commune in the midst of my imperfections, in the midst of those blind spots and those blemishes in my life. Wow, isn't your grace marvelous? How far do you need to fall before you'll realize how great the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are. Gracious God, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for what we've heard in song. God so loved the world. Amazing love, amazing grace, unending love. Thank you, Lord, that although we confess our imperfections, our sinfulness, our inability so often to worship you as you do, yet you invite us to come to the table. You invite us to partake, to give thought to the cost of our redemption, to buy us out of the slavery of sinfulness. And then you want us to be raised up as priestly kings to co-rule with you in a future age. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. May we humbly bow the knee today. May we worship you, give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite some of you men to come up and share from the word this morning.
morning. In my Bible reading, I'm at Psalm 99, so that's where I'd like to read from. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are a forgiving God. Thank you that you are holy. There's so much in these psalms here. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. Thank you that you redeemed us. You gave your life so that we could have life. Would you continue to bless our time together in Jesus' name? Amen.
Looks like we'll be sticking to Psalms today. Turn to Psalms chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping with them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent, of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Really, I should have been reading this much, much slower yet. gives you more opportunity to reflect. Yesterday, of course, we were, as Kevin mentioned, we were celebrating the wedding of Frank and Laureen, and it was, we had, I guess the wedding was outside, everything was outside, and we had the tent set up, and it was really beautiful, you know, it was already dark, and we had the candles and everything, and it makes you think a little bit about how, you know, God's given us the opportunity to make something so beautiful and to enjoy it, and then to think what's coming in the future, what he has, what great banquet he has prepared for us. Dear God, I want to thank you for the day. I want to thank you that we can be here to be in your presence, that we can worship you together, that we're loved by you, that we're known by you with all our faults. And Lord, just as we reflect on your death, your resurrection, all that you did for us, Lord, that we would be encouraged and drawn closer to you. I pray this in your name. Amen.
It being communion, I was reflecting and thinking about things, and during communion we reflect on the goodness of God and what he's done for us, and out of gratitude, and but also it also continually brings us back and puts us in perspective of where we are in life, and what should be our attitude. And and I was thinking about the future and how it is Christ who reigns, and yes, he died for us and for our sins, but also that we can be with him in heaven, and also in the passage that Mike read this morning, how Jesus had said, you know, I won't taste of this wine until we meet together in paradise, and how often, and it kind of correlates with even this morning, how we're reading this book on emotions, and how there are those that give up on their faith and get disgruntled, thinking, why would God let this happen? But yet, whenever anything bad happens, or when you're going through trials, those are the times when, if you keep perspective and you think about the future, God already, it's small and insignificant for what the future has in store. And turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. I was just thinking in verse 11, we see this triumphant God in the passage that Mike had read, kind of speaking of that too. It's just, the disciples were ready to think that everything was over when Jesus had died. And yet, here in the here was going to be a dark time, and yet he's still encouraging them and saying that, look to the future, when we're going to meet together and we'll drink wine together in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me the white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but him, he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword, which with he will strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the passage later than this, He's defeating Satan and the nations. And so often we think of injustice and why would God allow this? But it's God who's going to judge and take care of everything. And it's us to keep perspective and to continue to serve him and to know that God has the end written. And it's he who's going to judge and take care of everything. And it's only us to look to him and to serve and just rely and know that he has our back and that he will right all wrongs. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, and thank you, Lord, for your great gift of yourself and how you redeemed us and bought us back when we could not do so ourselves, and that it's through your great love that you do this, and that I just thank you, Lord, for that, and I pray, Lord, that we would keep perspective and that we would just see your hand at work in our lives, but also help us to understand and know that you have the future and you are going to right all wrongs and that you will make things right in the end, and that that even though we see injustice and we see everything going wrong in the world, that you still know and you still have compassion and love for those people as well, and also ourselves, in that that you live with grace and justice, and that that you will rule. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Psalm 45. It's fitting that we're here this morning to break bread. Yesterday we broke bread, in a matter of speaking, with Frank and Lorene and their respective families. There's a future wedding feast. It's called the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Matthew 22. Psalm 45, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the King. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You're the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies, and let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And all your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. from palaces adorned with ivory. The music of the strings makes you glad. Daughters of kings are among your honored women, and at your right hand is the royal bride in the gold of Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and give ear. Forget your people and your father's house. The king is enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift, and men of wealth will seek your favor, and all glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold, embroidered garments she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her and are brought to you. And yesterday, as we were celebrating, the ladies in waiting and the young men who are standing with Frank, young ladies with Lorraine, reminded me of the parable of the 10 virgins. How important it is for the church to be pure. But it's so fleeting in our world. The world in which we live in is passing away, but I pray that his church wouldn't be tarnished, that we would be without blemish. That's why we come to break bread. I used to break bread every week. Did that for years. I miss it. I'd be happy to hear people sharing from the Word of God every week. They are led in with joy and gladness, verse 15, and they enter the palace of the king, his future kingdom. Your sons will take the place of your fathers, and you will make them princes throughout the land. The recognition, the future servant kings we read about in the book of Revelation. I will perpetuate your memory as we break bread, Lord. Through all generations, therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. What a beautiful picture. And yet that picture that we looked at over there in Matthew chapter 26 is rather disturbing. Can't we just break bread without it always having these shades? Shades within my own heart. The dispelling reality that I am frail. I'm gray matter. I remember when D.K. Friesen said that to me, Peter. D.K. said to me, he says, you know one thing you want to know, Mike? That men are made of gray matter. Cain, why are you so downcast? You know what to do. Sin is crouching at the door and desires to master you, but you must master it. That's what is happening every day in each of our lives. This mastering as we follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave his life for us. How far do I need to fall to experience God's grace? You need not fall to experience God's grace. But you do need to look to the Savior to experience his grace. You do need to be thankful. Psalm 55. And we'll call those up to come and serve here. Listen to my prayer, O God. When was the last time you said that? The other night I was somewhat restless and praying. The troubles of the day were overwhelming. So many concerns, so many cares. Lord, I'd love you to fix it now. Would you take care of And then I started just talking to God about this one and then that one. And it went on and on, and the list didn't stop. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy and at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me as Jesus hung on the cross. And they revile me in their anger. Crucify him! Crucify him! My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. One of you is going to betray me. Surely not me, Lord. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest, and I would flee far away and stay in the desert, away from the darkness of my own heart. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. Here we are, going outside the gate, meeting with the one who took our reproach upon himself. Confuse the wicked, O Lord, confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city day and night. They prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Little did they know, the disciples know, that the Pharisees were plotting to destroy and crucify their Lord. They had not, even though the Lord had told them numerous times, it was not something that they could visually accept. And Peter said, no way. No way are they going to crucify you. As they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took out his sword and he cut off Malchus's ear. I will do everything I can to protect the King of Kings. And moments later, he denied the Lord three times. Destructive forces are at work in the city, verse 11, and threats and lies never leave its streets. True today as it was then. Oh, the cross is such a wonderful place, isn't it? No. It's a scandalous place. This side of the cross is a wonderful place, but only if I realize and appreciate the grace and the love of God. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. Could you? Could I? Sounds like Peter a little bit. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. Maybe. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked in the throng at the house of God. Betrayal. Have you felt betrayed? Oh, you were just imagining it. It can't possibly be true. Shadows. Here we are on the other side of that dark day. We're reminded of the beauty of Revelation 19, Psalm 19, Psalm 99 and 100. Beautiful, beautiful passages. I was expecting all of you to go amen and amen and hallelujah, and you know, we could have had ourselves a little revival here. Yeah. In a moment, you'll be taking a piece of bread. No, I wasn't there. The only thing I can identify with is what I read. I would have loved to have been around the table with the Lord Jesus, seeing the disciples leaning against each other, and of course, the Apostle John leaning on Jesus' chest. Who is it, Lord? Peter wants to know. Ask the Master, who is it? Scattered. They all scattered. They're all disillusioned. And when the Lord appeared in front of them, they could hardly believe it. When they were told that he had resurrected, they all questioned. Where was their faith? Where is my faith? I'm pretty disillusioned by the brokenness of this world. I see my own humanity, my own frailty. And I realize I need to bow the knee before him. I'm in need of his enabling grace every moment of every day. And it's only as I look at the cross and the resurrection can I prevail. Can I actually see hope? Let's go to 1 John 3. While you're doing that, I'll read one verse out of John 16:33. A time is coming and has now come when you will be scattered, each of you, to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 John 3. I believe that John wrote this in the latter part of his life. How great is the love of the Father as lavished on us. You're all lavished with the love of God. Some of you, I can see it clearly. In other words, you're soaking it in. You're loving every moment of it. You wake up in the morning and you want to praise God and you want to thank him, and you can't wait to wake up so that you can be consciously praising him. It's great to see. You encourage me. But some of you are lavished with his love and you don't even realize it. What a missed opportunity. But the love is still present. Say, how can it be effective? Only as you respond by faith. Yes, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. And so the church, that radiant, pure bride, we read about over there in Ephesians 5, is what God wants all of us to be. Let's walk together by faith. Let's break bread together. Let's appreciate the grace that's been extended to each of us. No, we don't need to fall to appreciate it, but we need to recognize our need of it. Because we too should ask ourselves the question from time to time, is it I, Lord? Could it possibly be me? May the Lord grant you his grace today. Those of you who are coming up to serve, would you come forward at this time?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this this day. Thank you for what we've all heard, and just remembering what you did for us, and also just how much you love us, how you want us to depend totally on you, how you want us to realize that in and of ourselves that we can do absolutely nothing, but it's only through when we trust you that we can do anything and have joy in our lives. Just ask you now to bless the bread as we partake of it, as we remember the great cost of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Back to our passage in Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body."
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have been able to share together, just remembering what you have done and the people we read about in Scripture, the psalmists and their thoughts and how they just considered who you were, what you did. They look to you as a place of refuge. Thank you that we can do that today. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed on the cross. You gave it willingly. Thank you for the cup that represents that shed blood. Would you bless it in Jesus' name? Amen.
Surely it's difficult to grasp what took place. Passover meal and breaking of bread. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." We praise God for yesterday's festivities. In fact, Henry Cron was doing a wedding, as I was doing a wedding, and the Taves family were celebrating Bailey. There were birthdays this past week. How many of you had a birthday this past week? Put your hand up. I know of at least two. Anna, Eva, put your hand up. Yeah, who else? Nick. Wow. Nick, you know, is working on his Santa Claus show. See that nice white beard he's got growing there? Yeah. He's only 22. Then we celebrate the new birth of Hannah Joy to John and Jenny. The joys, right? We're celebrating the resurrection. The beauty of new life that we've all have come to know by virtue of our faith in the Lord Jesus. But then there's still this very real part the infirmities of our body. So we want to pray for Brad and continue to uphold him. Pray for Glenn. Stan couldn't be here this morning. Just frailties of life. And then there are so many things that you and I are both aware of. Oh, not the same things, but different things. This coming week, would you pray for Valentin and Tanya, as Tanya is expecting on the 24th? Yeah. Lots to think about. So the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. You sort of say, well, shouldn't that just be a joyous time? Well, it's a pouring out of your heart in worship, but also in supplication, making our request known to God. So that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would guard our hearts and our minds so that we wouldn't be overwhelmed. Let's stand together. We'll close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the beauty of the day. Thank you for each family here. There's so many who are away today. Watch over them. Grant those who are getting some R&R to be able to be refreshed and that they would be meditating upon your grace today. We miss them. Father, we rejoice with those who are celebrating a wedding, new birth, birthdays. Those are wonderful things, Lord. But we know that we're going to, as we go into the next age, there will be no aging. Yeah. We pray for those who are struggling and have very real physical needs, which remind us of our human frailty and our dependence upon you. Pray for Brad and Stan and for Glenn. Give them the needed strength. May we love one another deeply from the heart. May we pray for one another and may we worship you and praise you, whether it be in the quiet on our knees or whether it be out on a mountaintop, yelling at the top of our voices. Pray for the farmers and pray that you'll help them as they bring in the harvest. Reminder that there's still a harvest for the lost, for those who haven't yet heard. Pray that we might be about your work, sowing, cultivating, reaping. May we sow in tears but reap with joy. Thank you for each one here today. Bless us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Someone you haven't met, just go, hey, I don't know your name. Who are you? Cody, make sure you shake somebody's hand, okay, bud?